So to make it not seem like a sales pitch for everybody in this room, I go, yes, I was just curious, and I'm not looking for an answer right now, but perhaps this month. How about reasons this project doesn't make sense for Johnson County?
I can't find one, but...
Okay. I mean, I was just...
I bet you list the Dave's podcast next week. He's
That's a good one, but it's true. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Morning Reload. From high above all other pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. This is kind of a special day on the program. Not only have we surpassed 100 episodes, if you didn't know, that's a big number in the podcasting world, but can you even think about it? 100 episodes of Cowboy State Politics. But more important than that, in just 6 short months, this program has surpassed 25,000 downloads, making it the context of political discussions in the state of Wyoming. And why did that happen so quickly? It's because we fashioned a scourge of cords to drive those money changers out into the public. Before Cowboy State Politics came along, these politicians could do and say whatever they wanted, and you probably wouldn't know about it until it came out of your pocketbook. And even then, by that time, they had convinced you that it was the charitable thing to do to open it up and give them your money. Whether they take it by force or by guile, it's really the same thing. They're still using your money on something that you probably don't want and probably don't need. But that's what redcoats do, and it is the mission of Cowboy State Politics to expose them at every opportunity. With your help, I've been able to do that, and I'll continue to do that on the program until that time that we drain the little swamp and chase these redcoats out of our state house in Cheyenne. So we begin today with a solemn thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for listening and supporting the program. It is only through you that we're able to continue to do this. When I started the program, I never could have imagined how much this audience would come to mean to me. Every time I sit down behind the microphone, it feels like you and I are having a personal conversation sitting across your kitchen table. And I'm telling you, from the bottom of my heart, it means the world to me. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's of money changers that we're going to talk about this morning. But first, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden or you're one of these redcoats in Cheyenne and you don't have a clue what's going on, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and find out what you should have learned a long time ago but never did. I'd also like to thank our main program sponsor, Morton Buildings. Certainly, without their support, this program would not be able to have become what it is today. Morton Buildings has been steadfast in their support of the program, and I owe them my thanks. Thank you very much. And if you're in the market for a building, be it a garage or a barn or an outbuilding or a hockey rink or a roping arena or really anything you want, these guys can build it for you. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. You couldn't ask for a better group of guys to work with. Give them a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. I promise you, you won't be disappointed in the work that these guys do. You'll never hear the dumb phrase, industry standard, come out of their mouth. Because frankly, they don't believe in it. They manufacture a lot of their own materials, and their crews do most of the work. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, and they'll build you a building that'll stand the test of time. We begin today where all good conversations do, with definitions. And since it's been a long time since I've explained to you exactly what a red coat is, and we have many new listeners to the program, it's about time that I tell you what that definition is. During the Revolutionary War, there were spies everywhere. The British had people crawling all over this place trying to find out what our colonists were doing. In fact, nobody really knew who was a spy and who was a patriot-loving American because they all dressed the same. They all had patriot-loving clothes on. And it wasn't until these redcoats went back to one of the houses that they had seized from a colonist and took off their patriot-loving clothes did they reveal themselves for who they really are. Deceptive, tyrannical, traitorous redcoats. The definition fits a lot of these politicians that are running around our great state and country. To get elected, they tell us one thing, that they won't raise their taxes, that they love the Second Amendment, that they'll do away with regulations. And then they go to Cheyenne and they vote exactly the opposite because they assume that you and I are not watching. Swamp-dwelling redcoats. The second definition we need to look at this morning is money changer. Being as astute as you are, you've probably already guessed that this has to do with money and taxes. But I found a good definition of what a money changer is at BibleHistory.com, and I quote, "The profession of money changer in Israel was made necessary by the law requiring every male Israelite who had reached the age of 20 years old to pay into the treasury of the sanctuary a half shekel at every numbering of the people, not even the poor being exempt. It seems to have become an annual tax and was to be paid in the regular Jewish half shekel. Since the Jews coming up to the feast would need to exchange the various coins in common circulation for this Jewish piece, there were money changers who exacted a premium for the exchange. The Jews of Christ's day came from many parts of the world, and the business of exchanging foreign coins for various purposes became a lucrative one, the exchangers exacting whatever fee they might. Because of their greed and impiety, Jesus drove them from the courts of the temple. And what did he drive them out with? A bullwhip. So why do I bring this up today? Well, first, the money changers were tax collectors. And second, they were deceptive. No one really knew how much they were going to have to pay to exchange their money. It was only the people collecting the tax that could tell them how much would be required to exchange their money. So there is no more derisive term that I can come up with for these tax advocates than money changer. Simply because they're being deceptive, they can't tell you how much money that they require for whatever project they want to build. And second, they are tax collectors. They're tax advocates that want to take your hard-earned money to pay for something that you probably don't want and probably don't need. Another parallel of today is the words and terms of the conversation continually change. You really have no idea what you're going to be required to do, much like the money changers of Jesus' day, in which nobody could say exactly how much it was going to cost to exchange their coins. Here, we're told that we have no idea how much it's going to cost to build whatever building, X, Y, or Z, and so we're just going to have to trust them because they're the only ones that really know. Let me give you an example. Tax advocates across the state claim that tourists pay the vast majority of these sales taxes. To be sure, tourism makes up a large percentage of Wyoming's economy. Towns like Buffalo, Sheridan, and Cody rely heavily on tourism. And the citizens of those towns are constantly told that tourists make up the majority of the tax revenue that comes into their cities. But the question is how much. Tax advocates claim that it's a large percentage, that the people that actually live in these communities don't really pay that much in taxes. But is that the truth? Take the case of Buffalo. Tax advocates here are saying that tourists pay 60% of the sales tax that comes into the county. That seems like an awfully big number to me. But let's set that one aside since we've talked about Johnson County a lot recently. Let's look at a place that relies heavily on tourist tax dollars, Cody. In an article published in the Red Star, Casper Star Tribune, entitled "Proposals to Raise Sales and Use Taxes Dismissed by Wyoming Lawmakers," Camille Erickson writes on August 25, 2020, that, quote, "Several residents and lobbyists opposed the sweeping tax reform measure. The economic crash of recent months has already left individuals and companies skating on thin ice," many said. "A tax would only make matters worse." Wyoming's robust coal and trona industries cautioned against the proposal, saying it would severely burden mineral operators already limping along. Pat Meyer, Park County's assessor, supported the sales and use tax bill, saying 38% of sales tax were paid by tourists. End quote. 38%, not 60. You would think that a town that sees a lot more tourist traffic than Buffalo or Sheridan would receive a higher percentage of tax dollars coming from tourists. But that is not the case. It's 38% and not 60. So these tax advocates, at least in Johnson County, are just using a fictitious number saying that 60% of sales tax comes from out-of-state dollars. The claim, of course, and they have outwardly said this, that it won't impact residents nearly as much as it will out-of-state folks. Not only is their figure accounting for out-of-state tax revenue incorrect, they are also wrong in saying that an increase in sales tax doesn't affect local residents, because local residents live here 100% of the time, and tourist season usually is only 3 to 4 months out of the year. The other three quarters of the year, it's only the citizens that live here that are paying the tax. The other place where these tax advocates are being deceptive to people is in their explanation as to why we should do this, and their defense of challenges to it, challenges such as inflation. Inflation is an increase in the volume of money that's circulating in the system. If there are more dollars floating around in the system, it makes the ones that you have worth less because there's more money floating around. So it costs you a lot more to buy the goods that you need. Where you see inflationary pressures the most is at the grocery store. And if you have gone to the grocery store recently, you know that prices are up, which means that inflation affects the poorest among us the most because they have to pay more for things like groceries and gas, etc. So as a general rule, inflation is a very, very bad thing for everyone. Well, except, of course, if your name is Rick Myers. Take a listen to this.
It plays it out. What inflation actually does is shows that it actually pays this off faster. This is modeled on a 20-year borrowing. You had to use something to come up with your payment. It's figured on a 20-year borrowing with a 2% inflation, because when there's inflation, travelers don't stop when there's inflation. They still come. Are the prices higher? Yes, but that means the sales tax goes up. So you actually pay things off faster.
Do you know what also pays a loan off faster, Rick? Taking more of people's money. What he's saying here is, you know, don't worry about it when your bank account is getting hammered at the grocery store, but just keep paying your tax because inflation is up and we'll be able to pay off the loan that we didn't need faster. Isn't that fantastic? Really, this is called a straw man argument. What Rick Myers is doing is saying that our number one problem is going to be paying off the debt from all of these bonds. Well, that was when they were still calling it a bond. Now they're just calling it a tax. But pay no attention to that. So what he's saying is that we'll be able to pay off the loan faster, when in reality, the biggest problem that this whole tax scheme is going to create is taking more of people's money out of their pocketbook at a time when they can least afford it, at a time when they're paying more for just about everything, including groceries. And here is the corollary to that argument. These tax advocates say that the vast majority of things that people buy are groceries. Groceries do not have a sales tax attached to them in the state of Wyoming. So don't worry about it because you're not going to be paying taxes on it. The part that they're missing is that because of inflation, people are paying more at the grocery store, which means they cannot afford to pay an increased amount of taxes such as the one that they're proposing. There's less money in their bank account because of inflationary pressures at the grocery store, which also means there's less money that they can afford to pay for this ridiculously stupid tax. So it's deception all the way around. Not only are their assumptions about the amount of tax revenue that comes from tourists inflated almost by a factor of two, they're not giving you the whole story as to what inflation means to you. If inflation goes up, it means that everything else you buy increases in price, which leaves you less money in your bank account to pay for their dumb tax. All the while, they're telling you that inflation is a good thing because we can pay off the debt faster. What we have to do is use our vote like a bullwhip and beat this vote back so they don't try it again. Coming on Wednesday, something a little bit different. I have a great interview with Alisa Palzer. She's got a new book out. It's a book of poetry, and it's a really interesting interview. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.